Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in On The Drive, thank you so much for listening. We've got you covered for everything you need to know for the NFL Draft. Coming up in just a little bit, we will catch up with Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. He does incredible work with Bleacher Report. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll take a trip inside the mind of the machine. And at 3 o'clock, Jay Binkley will join us in studio for a little draft, true or false.
Barber has the hardest handshake I've ever felt. Have you ever shook that guy's hand?
I have shaken his hand before.
Squeezed the fingernails right off my finger.
I just try to do dap. That's all I need.
I don't blame you.
I don't really need to do much else other than that. Today's pop quiz was Miss Congeniality. I've not seen that movie before, but I can pretty much guess why you picked that, because they said April 25th. In the movie clip, the winner won a pair of tickets to 6:10 Saturday this weekend as the Royals take on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Right now, we head to catch up with Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout. Again, follow his work on Bleacher Report. Matt, what's the latest on Patrick Peterson?
You know, I do think there was maybe a point in time where he could have been available. I know teams were making calls about him during the trade deadline in season, but I don't think anything's going to get done tonight. If he were traded throughout this draft, it would actually be a pretty big surprise to me. I think they want to try to make that work. They want to try to keep him there. They know that not only do they need to get this draft right, but they need to win some ball games. He's the best defender. I don't think that he's going to be on the move, especially now that Kansas City has traded for Frank Clark. I think that might have been one team that had the ammo and the willingness to actually trade for Patrick Peterson. I don't think he's going to be on the move today, though.
All right, so Matt, two-part question. Why is it so back and forth with Patrick Peterson? Because I feel like over the last 6 to 8 months, it's like Arizona might trade him. Well, they're not going to trade him. Well, they could trade him. It's been so back and forth. Why? And let's go through the hypothetical. What would it take for a team to trade for Patrick Peterson in your mind?
You know, I think the reason it's been so back and forth is because you do have kind of an older guy who has a pretty big contract that will be up soon. It'll be up after the 2020 season. So some of it is just common sense and dot connecting of like, okay, you have a team that's not very good and you have a player that will be on an expiring contract that they're probably not going to give him what he wants long-term, because they're going to have to move on and pay guys like Chandler Jones. And that seems like a long-term future. So I think a lot of the reason that people hypothesize that Pat could be traded is because of that, just because of where he's at with his contract. What would it take? That's a great question. I think you're going to have to start that conversation with maybe a late two or early three. The contract makes it difficult. Like, he's one of the best corners in football, so you would think that would command a first-round pick. But because of his contract situation, basically anybody that signs him is going to have to immediately give him a new deal. And as we've seen, like with Frank Clark, as we saw with Marcus Peters, guys like that, your trade value can get dropped quite a bit just by the nature of your contract.
As close as they were to the Super Bowl a year ago, are you surprised that the Chiefs are one of, if not the most active team this entire offseason?
Not at all. That's Brett Veach through and through, is to be active, to be aggressive, not to get complacent. And I really love the, you know, it's fun in January to be like, this is what they should do. And then you see things happen in February and you're like, oh my God, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But to be sitting here April 25th and see that you basically traded Dee Ford for Frank Clark plus the 29th pick in the draft. So 29th pick, you're not getting someone like Frank Clark. There's no way in hell that you could even, like, you're getting the luckiest of lucky if you think you're going to get a top five edge rusher at 29 overall. So I love this about Veach, that he is aggressive. With those 2 second-round picks, I wouldn't be shocked to see him continue to be aggressive. You know, they have enough draft capital to have some flexibility. Also, you know, with those picks, they're not locked in. They can move back from those and try to gain extra picks, whether it's in round three, on day three, or starting to look to 2020, which looks like a pretty good draft class.
And right now we're talking to Matt Miller. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He does great work with Bleacher Report. You lead me into my next question about Frank Clark. What do you make of the compensation? You're someone that studies draft picks and understands the value of them. What do you make of what they gave up for Frank Clark? Because it was very Khalil Mack-ish.
Yeah, I got no problem with it, Carrington. I really don't. I like I said, he's 25 years old, and I think he's one of the 5 best edge rushers in football. I think he's better than Tank Lawrence. So, yeah, you're going to have to give him more money. He's younger. He's had less injury issues. So I think the compensation is right in line with where it should be. And like you said, man, I study the draft. I study players. And I do study the salary cap. I study it enough to know that it's fake. You can manipulate that thing as much as you want to. So they do have the ability to get Frank Clark under that deal and still sign Chris Jones and still sign Tyreek Hill and still, when it's time, give Pat Mahomes $40 or $45 million a year. So you can build a team around four big contracts. The key is you have to hit in the draft. You have to be able to find offensive linemen. You got to be able to find a linebacker. So the cap's only going to go up. We're going to have a new CBA in a couple of years. It'll be interesting to see what the percent of the revenue goes to the salary cap. But I think that not just Brett Veach and Andy Reid, but I think Clark Hunt, these are three of the smartest guys in the NFL. They know what they're doing to make sure they have the money to keep these core players together.
So you don't think there was a direct correlation between the signing of Frank Clark and Tyreek Hill? Because I kind of figured it was one or the other. The Chiefs would be able to pay Tyreek Hill going forward, or they were going to pay a guy in Frank Clark. You think there's a way to keep everybody around and everybody happy and everybody paid?
I think you can with those four guys. It works out well because you can almost stagger them. Like, you sign Clark now. If you sign Jones either before the season or after the season, you can stagger out the guaranteed money. You can, you know, Clark's deal is basically a three-year deal. So you can move the money around enough. And I think with Tyreek, it's going to be interesting to see how they pay him because, you know, I know yesterday they said no charges are going to be filed criminally. I will be interested to see how that affects his value out on the market because it is a dude who you worried about him in college. You know, the incident there was the reason that he was off my board, the reason that I didn't consider him a draftable player. It will be, I think, something that Chiefs fans need to watch and see. Is he going to get the Antonio Brown-type money that he's probably worth, or are the off-field incidents going to keep him from being paid as a top receiver where you might actually be able to get him at kind of a bargain contract?
Matt, let me ask you this. Let's say that Brett Veach today is sitting there and says, I want to move up and I want to select in round one of the NFL draft. I understand that we traded 29, but I want to go grab me a first-round value player. How much would it cost to do that, in your opinion?
You know, it depends on where you want to go. If you're looking at you want to get back in that neighborhood that you were in, it's probably going to cost those twos, or you're going to have to give a two and a future two maybe. It would be expensive. And I think a team that has seven picks in this draft now, it's not worth it because, I posted a seven-round mock draft this morning, and as I was running through it for the Chiefs, it's like, man, I felt like I got two really good players at 61 and 63. And when they came back on the clock at 84, that pick from Seattle, it's like, okay, there's still decent value. After that, you have to use those other four picks just to continue to add depth for this draft, for this roster. So I don't think you want to get into a situation where you're, you know, like you've already borrowed from next year's draft, you know? And so I think you just have to be really, really smart about not completely mortgaging the future. I mean, I know they got some back for Dee Ford. That helps, even out the cost of moving around, but I would be pretty surprised if they tried to get back into one.
So let me ask you this to continue down this hypothetical for one more question. Let's say that they did mortgage a little bit of the future to go back into round one to grab somebody. Who, in your opinion, would it be for?
I think it would be for one of the corners. You've crossed off the needs on the defensive line, getting it not just with Clark, but adding in Alex Okafor, getting Emmanuel Ogba. That's a really good unit right now. So I think it would have to be one of the corners, which – my argument would be Carrington and guys, you could probably come up to the early round two instead of having to get back on day one, just because of the way that we look at this class in terms of the corners. A lot of them are probably going to fall to round two. We might only see two corners drafted in the first round. So the value for corner could actually be at the top of round two. But I look at that, we're probably going to see Rocky Sin go off the board tonight. We might see Lonnie Johnson, might see Byron Murphy. We could be here Friday night with Greedy Williams, DeAndre Baker, Justin Lane, some really good corners still out there on the board that you might want to be willing to give up a little bit of future capital to go get.
And that was Matt Miller. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Also, he does great work with Bleach Report. Go ahead and check it out. I'm not against the Chiefs trading up in the NFL draft. Right now they're at 61. That's their first selection. I have no problem if they go from 61 to 49 because there's a player that they really like and they trade a third-round pick. I would just say, trust your scouting. You said that this draft was really deep at corner. I think that's your biggest need right now. I think cornerback is your biggest need. If you really believe that, there's no reason to go from 61 to 28 or 29. Trust your scouting, trust your board, trust your evaluation, and then trust that there's going to be a couple of really good corners that fall to you in round two.
I agree that cornerback is the biggest need, which is why I'm surprised to hear you say that you wouldn't trade your 2 second round picks for, because what if it comes down to it, C-Dot, and the difference between this team winning a Super Bowl is trading those 2 second round picks. That's how close they are. I've been saying really since last offseason that we're going to have to hit in the draft with two picks, two plug-and-play ready players, and one big free agent offseason acquisition. Well, before 2 days ago, and when the team signed Frank Clark, I thought the big offseason move was Tyrann Mathieu. Now they've added both those pieces. If you add Patrick Peterson also, if essentially you flip those first three picks, your number 29 pick and 61 and 63 for Patrick Peterson and Frank Clark, you couldn't possibly have more NFL-ready players than those two guys with those picks.
Sometimes I feel like Kansas City's opinion on this is skewed is because they are one of the few organizations that saw that philosophy actually 100% work. Where we watch sports all the time, we see teams make deadline deals all the time that don't end up working, and they do end up mortgaging the future, where Kansas City is just one of the examples of they were all in at the deadline. They were all in at trying to capitalize on their window, and then they capitalized on the window. I have absolutely no problem if they trade for Patrick Peterson. I just wouldn't give up both second round picks. If you want to trade your second round pick this year and you want to trade a future pick, I got no problem. I just would not punt on the first three rounds of the NFL draft, because that's your best chance to get cost control players. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Jay Binkley will join us in the studio and we'll keep talking about the NFL draft. But next, we'll go inside the mind of a machine. Next is The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes. You know what? I'm in a good mood. So we're going to do an Avengers giveaway coming up in a little bit. Now, it's not the tickets. That's at 5 o'clock. But we've got an Avengers prize pack.
What do we got?
It's basically like a little Avengers lunchbox. Got some nice little trinkets in it for the movie.
What lunchbox did you have as a kid? I was He-Man.
A brown paper bag? I didn't have no lunchbox. Kind of, I had no lunchbox.
You didn't have like a thermostat? No real lunchbox?
I had a brown paper bag. All right. Or a Walmart sack. That was my lunchbox.
Classy. That's my lunchbox today.
Classy.
So we'll give you a chance to win an Avengers prize pack. All you got to do is keep it locked in. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. I'll tell you how to win, but keep it locked in. Coming up also in 15 minutes, Jay Binkley will join us in studio. We'll do a little NFL draft, true or false. But right now, let's go inside the mind of a machine.
Welcome back in, C.BK. Good to see you. Guys, who's the bigger Chiefs wide receiver draft bust? In 2000, when they drafted the great Sylvester Morris, or back in 2011, when they drafted 6'4", 230-pound wide receiver Jonathan Baldwin? Who's the bigger bust, Sylvester Morris or Jonathan Baldwin?
I mean, the answer is both, really, because they're equally as the same as a bust. The funny thing about Baldwin is, kind of like with Tino passing, yo, people were trying to fight that one for a long
time.
Till
the very end.
Like, I'll never forget. He did this whole Gatorade, I'm working, I'm grinding. And Kansas City went crazy. And
I believed.
I knew then at that moment, I don't like people that tell you they're working hard or people that tell you that they're humble. Like, if you got a post that you're working out at 4:30 in the morning and try to motivate me, I just didn't like the mindset behind it. But you know, I can't see, oh, look, he's working. Like, you don't see Mahomes at 3 o'clock in the morning like, hey, you know what? I'm out here throwing passes, because we just assume that he's working out. I never liked it from the beginning. I'm going Baldwin.
I'm not saying either one of these guys were great football players, but Jonathan Baldwin and Tony Moyaki may have made the two best catches I've ever seen a Chief make.
I was about to say, that touchdown that he had, it was
unbelievable.
Incredible.
While we're talking about bust, which was the bigger top 10 Chiefs bust? At number 6, back in 2002, when they drafted the great Ryan Sims.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Or back in 2009, at number 3, when they drafted the future Hall of Famer, Tyson Jackson. Bigger bust, Tyson Jackson or Ryan Sims?
Ryan Sims is a bigger bust. Tyson Jackson was actually a decent NFL player.
Ryan Sims once bought me an A&W root beer at Target.
He just shouldn't have been drafted 3rd overall. Like, Tyson Jackson probably should have been drafted like 17th in the NFL, and it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, but because he got drafted 3rd, it was a big deal. Ryan Sims, I think we saw, was clearly a Julius Peppers creation. Like, he only got drafted that high because he played alongside Julius Peppers, who got double-teamed in college, so he just took advantage of that. It's the only reason he got drafted so high. Sims is the bigger bust.
Ryan Sims is the reason why I will never vouch for the Chiefs drafting a North Carolina defensive lineman ever again. He's the answer.
Which football draft do you guys enjoy more? The real draft that's actually going on tonight, or the fantasy football draft that we have once a year when you get to, you know, ditch the wife and kids and go to the lake and do whatever you guys do at your fantasy draft. Which draft, the real draft or your fantasy draft?
I'm actually not a fantasy draft person. I'm not a season-long person. I am a daily when it comes to that.
Okay.
So I have actually never participated in a season-long fantasy football draft.
I prefer this draft if the Chiefs are involved in a big way. Like, this year, I would prefer, obviously, the fantasy draft because Chiefs don't have a first-round pick. First round's not going to be all that interesting here locally. But on a typical season, like when the Chiefs are picking mid-teens, something like that, yeah, I prefer this draft.
Last week, guys, Eric Cosmer fell and injured himself in a sauna. Do you guys know the difference between a sauna and a steam room?
Yeah, one's dry heat, one's wet.
Okay, just making sure. Besides the Patriots, see that? Who is the Chiefs' biggest competition in the AFC? Besides the Patriots, who's the Chiefs' biggest competition in the AFC heading into next season?
The Los Angeles Chargers.
I'll go with that.
I thought you were going to give more.
No, I thought you had an answer.
No.
I thought you had an opinion. Answer. No, I think I agree.
You going with that too, BK?
Yeah, it's the Chargers.
Yeah, it's the Chargers.
I mean, the Chargers are the second most talented team in the AFC behind the Chiefs. The Chargers have more talent than the Patriots. The Patriots are just the Patriots. But the Chargers' talent is incredible.
Top to bottom, you could argue they're more talented than the Chiefs.
Yeah, they're definitely
neck
and
neck. Quarterback.
A more iconic video game, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
I'll go Mortal Kombat because there's just been more additions. They're only on Street Fighter 5 and they're on Mortal Kombat 11. I'll go Mortal
Kombat. Are they really on Mortal Kombat 11?
It just came out yesterday, or Tuesday. Just came out.
Alex Gordon is off to a red-hot start, but what kind of final stats do we expect from Alex Gordon this year?
265.
So he's coming way back down to earth.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, right now he's Mike Trout. 265, 13 home runs, 61 RBIs.
I'm going a little better than that. PK, what do you think? Final stats.
I think it'll be a typical prime Alex Gordon type of a year. 265, 20 homers, 80 RBI.
80? You got him with an 80
He's
pack.
At 20 right now.
He's on pace for like 120 right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
I'm not good at math, though. Keep that in mind.
He's got basically won a game so far, so he's on pace for about 160 RBI this year.
Miguel Cabrera.
He's not going to get there. 80 RBIs isn't that great.
On pace to be MVP. Season. Speaking of MVP, see that, will Joel Embiid ever win an NBA MVP?
Yes, at some point.
Really?
I think so.
Who wins it this year, Giannis or Harden, or the field?
I think Giannis is going to win.
I think Giannis.
I mean, the field has no chance of winning. It's either Giannis or Harden. It's one
of
the two.
I'll take the under on Embiid, absolutely.
Really?
He's not going to win an MVP.
As long as he stays healthy at some point in the next 5 years, Joel Embiid will be league MVP. That is a big if.
And also, Giannis is younger and better and more dominant than him. So, yeah, no, I'm going to take the under for sure.
I just think we see that MVP, it changes hands so quickly. Like, Kobe was a great, only has one of them. That, like, other great players win all the time. Like,
When was the last time a center won an MVP, though, in the NBA? I just think the game's gone away from that. I don't think he's going to be
Duncan
able to.
Duncan probably was the last center that won MVP.
Yeah, dude, it's been, like, a decade.
I mean, I would say, other than Dwight Howard, there probably haven't really been that many great centers, we would say, over the last 10, 15 years either.
Guys, today is Take Your Child to Work Day. None of us have kids, but as a kid, did you ever get to go to work with your parents?
Yeah. I mean, not often, but...
No, I'm Take Your Child to Work Day. Or I guess if you're sick from school.
Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, I didn't go every year, but a couple times, yeah. A couple times.
The Cardinals, sorry to cut you off, BK, are taking Kyler Murray at number one, right? I'm not missing something here.
Yeah, they're taking Kyler Murray. I think they're playing coy because they want to try to continue to build up interest and drum up interest. I actually think that they've told the NFL a long time ago, but they just it's now in the NFL's best interest to keep this up. Like, I think they decided a long time ago. They just ain't telling nobody.
What happens to Josh Rosen?
I think he's traded to Miami Dolphins.
I think Rosen gets traded tonight, and that's the big story. That starts the firestorm. That's when everybody starts going, oh, whoa, now we've got something to talk about. Yesterday, Danny Venmo'd you $20 that he owed me, but he doesn't actually owe me the money. So how should we spend it? Here are our options. We can buy a $20 Willy Wonka scratch-off ticket. You and I can go to the casino. We can go down to Harris tonight, C-Dot, and put it all down on Black 22, or... When's our next off day? We can spend it in Weston, Missouri. How do you want to spend our $20?
Next week, we have another off day,
do
right?
Do we? We going to Weston?
Another day game.
I'll see you boys in Weston.
It's a day game. We're supposed to work from 5 to 6.
What?
We're going back to Weston.
What's Bink
doing? We're going back to Weston.
We're going to be in Weston.
Convince Speck, then we can go back to Weston.
Yeah. Go back to Weston.
I'll be in Weston. And last one, I've got a date this weekend. Better idea. It's a day date. Worlds of Fun, the zoo, or something else? I'm leaning toward the zoo. I've always thought that was a really good
date. Do you know how much Worlds of Fun is?
I may or may not have some free tickets.
I'm definitely not taking... Oh, it's free. Then, yeah, go. I mean, take the free option.
That's the thing, though.
Take the free option.
But you don't want to, like... I guess she's not going to know the tickets were free, but something tells me you're spending a gift card on a date, guy, aren't you?
Why would I not spend the gift card on a date?
On a first date?
why does it matter to her how much I spend on our outing? No one's ever been able to explain to me why it should matter to her how much I spend on it.
Because sometimes women care about how much money guys have. They don't care how many Gates gift cards another guy has. That's not somebody
I want to date then. I don't want to date anybody that
doesn't love you for your Gates gift cards.
And I would say, so then it depends. So I'm saying is then it would depend on where the gift card is. Like, she wouldn't complain if I didn't have to pay for Capital Grill, which you complained then. Oh, no. you didn't pay for it. You had a great meal.
It's better than supersize to get a McDonald's, I suppose, and paying cash.
Well, there's a difference between taking her to McDonald's and Capital Grill.
Yes, clearly.
But you're telling me she's unhappy if we use a gift card to go to, let's think of a nice place.
I hit Oklahoma Joe's. You've done this, haven't you? You've done this.
Of course I would.
It's all good. Okay.
No, I mean, I'm fine. No one's ever been able to explain to me why it matters too much to her on how much I spend on the date.
Like a gift card.
I never get it. Just like if you gave me a gift and it was free and you didn't pay, like tomorrow if you gave me a Bluetooth speaker, I don't care how much you pay for it. It's great to me. I'm happy with it.
I'm just saying on a first date, you might want to give a different impression than spending that gift card. Just a first date.
Yeah, there's some things where I don't want to date that person if that's their mindset. All right. If they're worried about how much I spend, then that's cool. If she can't sneak in these Sour Patch Kids to the movie theater, I don't want to date her. That's not somebody I want to date. You can go date somebody else. There's plenty of fish out there. There's plenty of different options. That's just not somebody I would be romantically interested in. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll catch up with Jay Binkley. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win an Avengers prize pack. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
All right, so keep it locked in. This is what we're going to do. Jay Binkley is in studio. We're going to do some NFL draft true false. BK will ask us, or he will give a statement. We will guess whether it's true or false. At the end of this segment, we will have an impromptu pop quiz. We will play the clip from a Marvel movie. If you know what Marvel movie it is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610, and you win an Avengers Endgame prize pack. How's that sound, everybody?
Sounds great.
Right now, we are very happy to be joined by Jay Binkley at Three Guys in a Garage. You can also catch a show, Bink at Night, and he will be on after us at 7 o'clock. For all things NFL draft with Kent Swanson and Craig Stout from Arrowhead Pride. Bink, how you doing today,
man? Doing great. Following the show in Vern there, 6-7 from Nashville. I'm really looking forward to this because even though we don't have a first-round pick, could we? Could they trade back into it? I don't know, but we're going to have a ton of fun. So if you're out driving around, you know, check us out because we got a lot of stuff planned for tonight.
All right, so this segment is very simple. BK is going to read us a sentence. We will ask you if it is true or false. BK, take it away.
All right, guys, first statement for you. You guys determine whether this is true or false. The Cardinals will select Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick tonight. True or false?
You know what? I'm going to say false. Everybody's zigging. I'm going to zag.
They
brought in Keenan Williams today and Nick Bosa. They brought them both in the facility. They had lunch with them. They told Keenan Williams he's still a possibility. Is it a smoke screen or not? Or are they not sold on Kyler Murray at number one and go a different direction? Everybody and their mom has Kyler Murray going to the Cardinals. You know what? I'll go opposite of that, C-Dot. I want to go Kyler Murray, but I'm not so sure now when you're flirting with Williams and Bosa like this.
I think that the room and the building is split on whether they should draft Kyler Murray. I think ultimately you do not hire the coach that you hire if you're not going to let him take the quarterback that he wants. I think that Kyler Murray is going to be the number one overall pick, and I think they trade Josh Rosen sometime tomorrow to the Miami Dolphins.
I think it's true. I think Kyler Murray is the number one pick. I think maybe he's not the number one pick by Arizona. Maybe Arizona decides they can get more value by trading down and somebody else takes him number one. But I think that Kyler Murray, yes, is going to be the first player off the board. Those Oklahoma quarterbacks, especially recently, Baker Mayfield, not too shabby. He's going number one.
How was Bradford and Trevor Knight?
Not as good.
Second true-false statement for you guys. Four quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, and Daniel Jones will all go within the first 15 picks tonight. So they'll be top of the first round type of guys.
False, not top five, not top 15. I think they'll all four go in the first round, but not top 15. I think if you had asked top 17, I might have gone top 17 with the Giants, but I think Haskins will go up 15. I think Jones might be off the board as the second quarterback tonight. Drew Locke, if he falls, he could be falling all the way to the end of the first round. But I will not say they'll go. That's false.
I'm going to go false as well. I think three quarterbacks go in the top 15. I don't think all four. I think Haskins, Murray, and Locke all go in the top 15. I don't think Daniel Jones is. I don't see it with Daniel Jones. I don't understand it. I feel like every year.
Well, it's his coach, Duke Cutcliffe. I mean, that's the biggest thing with him.
I feel every year there is that quote-unquote prototypical passer quarterback that the NFL goes crazy for that is a bust in the NFL. Remember, and Daniel Jones has it written all over him.
I think Murray goes number one. I think Haskins goes top 10. Then there's a couple of crapshoots. I don't know where Daniel Jones goes. He could go at the very end of the first round. He could go at the top of the second round. And then to me, the biggest crapshoot on the board, any player, not just because he's a local guy, is Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock could go as high as four to Oakland or as low as, I don't know, 32 to back up Tom Brady with the Patriots. So he's probably, not probably, he is going to go in the first round. But it's been a long time, Banks, since I can remember a quarterback with such a wide range on draft day as Drew Lock today.
It's tough. I could see him ending up with the Giants, to be honest with you. I think they'd be the best fit for him behind Eli Manning for like a year. But everywhere else you're talking about maybe a couple years. And in Oakland, I think he compete with Derek Carr for the starting job. That might actually be his best spot. I feel like the Giants, though. Haskins, I think, is going to the Redskins at 15.
I've got an example for you of someone like that. Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater, the day he got drafted, it was very up and down what Bridgewater could.
And there's always a name that kind of is the sexy name come draft night. I wouldn't be surprised if that was Drew Lock either. I wouldn't be surprised if he slides down or if he goes up and Oakland goes, all right, the quarterbacks are being taken. We don't love the guy that we got. Let's go ahead and take a flyer on Drew Lock. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's either a Raider or a Bronco by the end of the night.
If he slides the end of the first round, he made a mistake because I think he would have been further than that last year had he decided to jump. Got bad advice.
For what it's worth, I think all four go in the top 12. I think it's
really?
I think it's absolutely in play. All four go in the top 10, actually. I think teams are going to trade up. We see this every year. They go higher than we all expect them to. And I think it's the Mahomes effect. People are going to trade up to get their guy, even if they probably shouldn't.
I'll go ahead and say this right now. If you draft Daniel Jones in the top 12, he will get you fired.
I'd rather have Mike Jones. Who?
Next true false statement. We've been talking about him a little bit already. True or false, Drew Lock will go to a team that currently has a veteran quarterback in place, and he will sit for his first year in the NFL.
Yes, that is a true statement. If he ends up in Denver, which he could, he's sitting behind Flacco. If he ends up in Green Bay, he's sitting behind Rodgers, ends up with the Giants. Yes, he's going to sit behind Eli. Unless he goes to the Raiders and competes with Derek Carr or they move Derek Carr, Drew Lock will sit his first year.
I will say true because there are way more teams interested with him that fit that qualification than ones that don't. The only team that I think he would maybe start day one would be the Miami Dolphins or Oakland. But I don't think Oakland's that interested in him. I just don't think there's many quarterbacks that feel like they would need to start Drew Lock from day one. So I'll go with true on your side.
Unless Chucky likes him. Unless Chucky likes him.
Miami picks at 17. If Chucky likes him at 4, I agree with you. The Dolphins and the Raiders are the only two teams that I could see him starting for. You look at the rest of the teams at the top of the draft. Arizona needs a quarterback. They're about to have two. San Francisco just got Jimmy Garoppolo. The Jets got their guy last year. So there's a handful of teams, but I think it's more likely, and it's probably best case scenario for Drew Lock, that he lands on a team that's closer to making the playoffs than not, where he can sit for a year or two under the tutelage of a starter. Then I think he's got the best chance to be a good NFL quarterback, opposed to being thrown in somebody's system right away.
I think the Mahomes effect really should be taken seriously with the NFL. Let's sit the guy behind a veteran quarterback and see what can rub off on that quarterback. It's a dream scenario that didn't often happen. I mean, look at Mayfield. He had his feet thrown to the fire and did just fine. But I think that method of the way the Chiefs handled Mahomes worked perfectly, and you know it's a copycat league.
Everybody seems to agree that there's only one running back that's going to go in the first round, and that running back is Josh Jacobs. True or false statement for you guys, the Raiders will be the team that takes a running back in the first round.
That is a true statement. Josh Jacobs will go, but let me ask you this, BK. Damian Harris, to me, is almost more interesting than Josh Jacobs. Came out of the same system. He's ran for 1,000 yards twice. I get it. He was a senior, has more wear on the tire. To me, Najee Harris might have been the best back at Alabama last year, and the speed was about the same. They're talking about him being the next Alvin Kamara. Are you sold that Jacobs is that much better than Damian Harris? I think Jacobs goes, but I think Harris might be the better back.
I'll take Jacobs all day. I think Jacobs is a really good receiver, and I think that's where he separates himself.
Well, he had
from
less
Damian
yards
Harris.
Per carry than Damian Harris. Damian Harris, he didn't even run. Jacobs didn't at the pro day. I mean, at the combine. He ran a 4.6 his first pro day. It slid down to the 4.5s the second. I'm not sold on him, but I think the Raiders take Jacobs.
The Raiders traded Amari Cooper to draft a running back in the first round? That's what we're saying?
Well, they got three picks.
But still, you can't get a running back in the second round or the third round?
Yeah, I think you can, but, I mean, you know, it's this whole, we got to replace Marshawn.
Why can't you pass on Josh Jacobs and then go get David Montgomery? Go get Benny Snell out of Kentucky.
Or Daryl Henderson. Just wait for that.
This is dumb. Oakland is dumb. Like, there's no other way to put it. If they traded Amari Cooper or Khalil Mack so they could draft Josh Jacobs, they're dumb.
The reason I think that's true is because, like CDOT said, they are dumb. D-U-M. Even though they have picks 4, 24, and 27.
Did you say D-U-M?
Oakland's going to screw this up.
Did you say dumb was D-U-M?
Yes, I know there's a B. Come on, Bink. Come on, Bink. You got to catch a sarcasm every now and again, brother.
He got you.
The Khalil Mack move was dumb, D-U-M. The Amari Cooper deal was dumb, D-U-M.
With a B.
The John Gruden deal was dumb with a capital D and two M's. I'm telling you, Oakland doesn't have any idea what's going on. So clearly, yes, they're going to take a running back with one of those first three picks.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Probably the fourth overall pick.
I'm with you.
That is our guy, Jay Binkley. Follow him on Twitter, @3GuysInAGarage. Also, be sure to check out tonight, you, Kent Swanson, and Craig Stout for a little draft talk.
A lot of geeking going on. A lot of geeking going on that I'm pumped up for it, actually.
We got an impromptu pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is still brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You got a chance to win an Avengers Endgame prize pack. All you have to do is identify this Marvel movie. Hit it, BK.
This isn't about the crown. This is about the people, and they're dying, and they're your people, too.
Forget it. I have.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Great.
Great.
Thank you.
For what?
For this.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610, and the prize is yours. Coming up in just a little bit. Where could Drew Lock fall in the NFL draft, and what would it take for the Chiefs to get Patrick Peterson? Well, we'll tell you both coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in our pack-a-day giveaways. You can be registered to win an autographed Adalberto Mondesi rookie card. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports. Matt Miller today gave us his thoughts on where Drew Lock could go in the NFL draft.
He could go anywhere from 6 to the Giants to 30 to the Packers. And I've talked to Drew's family, and like, you want to be able to give them like some good news of like, hey, I think he's going to go here. And it's just really hard to predict this year because there hasn't been that team other than Denver that we've heard has a ton of love for him. But, you know, if the Bengals drafted him at 11, I wouldn't be shocked. If the Dolphins did at 13, I wouldn't be shocked. Same with the Titans at 19. There are just enough teams that have a need at quarterback that I can't see him slipping too far.
The two or three things that interest me the most today in the NFL draft are what's Oakland going to do? They have three first-round picks. They can be as aggressive as anybody in the NFL draft, and it obviously has an effect on the Kansas City Chiefs. I would say, two, what happens with Josh Rosen? Because a team like the Chargers could trade for Josh Rosen and say, hey, we have our quarterback, but we're happy to take a second-round flyer, a third-round flyer. We'll let Josh Rosen sit for a year and just reap the value of, we got a player who was the top 10 pick and still on his rookie contract. He could go to a place like New England, who also could use a quarterback of the future. So where Josh Rosen lands, I think, is really interesting. And three, I thought Matt Miller said it perfectly. Drew Lock could go number 4 to Oakland, and I wouldn't be incredibly surprised. He could go 6 to the New York Giants, and I wouldn't be incredibly surprised. He also could go 30th in the NFL draft. I don't know how we could be stocked. The NFL's, I think, consensus on where Drew Lock is all over the place.
Is it because of the teams, or is it because of the player? Because I don't understand. Usually on draft day, we know if you're a guy that could be a top 5 pick, you're probably going to be a top 5 pick. But we're hearing that he could slide as far as all the way to the bottom of the first round. Is it simply because, I guess, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins won a lot more games in college than Drew Lock did at MU?
Lock is weird to me. Just as somebody who watched a lot of Drew Lock.
He looks like an NFL quarterback when I watch him play.
And that's where I think he's going to get somebody. I think Drew Lock's going to be picked high because he looks the part. I don't necessarily know if he consistently plays the part. As someone who watched just about every game that Drew Lock competed in his time in Missouri, he played really well against teams that weren't that good and typically struggled against teams that were really good.
If you were a GM at 10, would you take him?
If I'm Denver?
Yeah, if you're Denver, would you take him?
Yeah, I would take him.
All right.
I would take him if I was committed to the development. if I was committed to the he's not going to start this year thing, I would take him. I would absolutely take Drew Lock. I would not take him if I'm the Miami Dolphins and I feel like Drew Lock needs to start this year. I would not take him.
How long until he can be a starter in the NFL? Because, again, I haven't watched nearly as much Drew Lock as you, but when I watch him play, I see NFL talent. And most of the time, if you spend a top five, top 10 pick, you don't have the luxury like the Chiefs had to sit that quarterback for a year or two. If it's Drew Lock, he's probably going to be thrown into the fire in the next couple of years.
But I would say you don't have to, though. Maybe that's the difference when it comes to it.
Unless he lands in a perfect spot.
I think you just got to stay the course. I think we see too many times that organizations give in to the pressure, and because in the one individual season it's not going the way that they want to, so they just quickly change the plan. Where the Chiefs had the luxury because they were a good team, sometimes you got to stay the course. Like, I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, to me, are staying the course. The Dolphins maybe don't like a quarterback in this class but want the number one pick in next year's class, so you stay the course and you do it. So if you're a team that drafts Drew Lock, very simply say, we're not playing Drew Lock this season. We're going to let it ride with Joe Flacco, and then if something happens to Flacco, we're going to let it ride with someone else, but we think the best long-term plan for our quarterback is for him not to play this year and get all the behind-the-scenes experience that he can. We just never see that happen. I think a lot of teams do what Arizona did last year, where Arizona maybe had the plan to sit Josh Rosen. Something happened with Sam Bradford, as typically happens, and then they just played Josh Rosen when it was clear that the structure was not in place to play Josh Rosen.
As a Chiefs fan that you are and an MU fan that you are, what if he lands in the division? How scary is that, if at all? Because I think there's a good chance he's probably not going to be a Charger. I think that end game is going to end up with Josh Rosen is going to be the backup to Phillip Rivers. But he could easily land with either the Raiders or the Broncos, which means as a Chiefs fan, you have to face him twice within the next few years. How scary is that?
I don't know if Gruden has ever shown me that he can develop someone like Drew Lock. And Elway certainly hasn't done it so far. I don't think those are good places for Drew Lock's development. Like, Gruden has never developed a quarterback like Drew Lock. Like, this is – I don't think that Drew Lock is a project. I think there are some fundamental and mechanic things broken about Drew Lock that's going to take time to fix. And just with the Broncos, like, they have just hit and missed so much on quarterbacks with very few hits and a lot of misses. I just don't trust that they can develop him. The best thing for him would be to go to a place like Green Bay. The best place for him to go would be a place like, to me, even Cincinnati, where they have a quarterback-centric coach where Andy Dalton's the starter, you let Drew Lock learn for a year, and then next year you start him.
Well, the best place in that scenario that he could go would be to New England, right? I mean, at some point, Tom Brady's got to retire, even though he's already, 42 years old. He says he wants to play until he's 45. Three more years of him, Drew Lock, under his tutelage. Bill Belichick, that seems like a pretty good marriage to me.
I want to play this for you guys. This is what Matt Miller had to say. This is what he thinks it would cost for the Chiefs to go grab Patrick Peterson.
I think you're going to have to start that conversation with maybe a late two or early three. The contract makes it difficult. Like, he's one of the best corners in football still. You would think that would command a first-round pick, but because of his contract situation, basically anybody that signs him is going to have to immediately give him a new deal. Your trade value can get dropped quite a bit just by the nature of your contract.
Someone on the text line asked a really good question that I want to ask you. How many players away are we? All I keep hearing is we are this player away from a Super Bowl. I think that's a very fair question because I think a lot of people in our position said that and then they went to go get Frank Clark. He was the one player that they needed in the NFL draft. Now they need another one player away when it comes to Patrick Peterson. I am all for getting Patrick Peterson. I don't want anyone to think that I would not like for the Chiefs to trade for Patrick Peterson. But in the same way I was when it came to Frank Clark, there has to be a cost in which you're willing to say, no, we think that's too much and we're willing to go in another option. I wouldn't trade both number twos to go get Patrick Peterson. If you're telling me that Arizona calls you and says that we want pick 61 and pick 63, I'm telling them no. I'll give you pick 61 and we can have a conversation that is built around that. But I'm not giving you both of them. I kind of feel like now we've placed an urgency with the Chiefs that – we can trade every single draft pick they have if we can just try to give ourselves a 1% better chance to win the Super Bowl when you got to think more long-term and you got to team build a little better than that.
Heading into this offseason, I thought the answer to that question was they needed to add one big free agent and two pieces in the draft. And when I say pieces, I'm not talking about Breland Speaks. I'm not talking about Tano Passanio. I'm talking about Chris Jones, the guy that you can plug in right away where he's good from the word go. Now, obviously, he's not going to have that type of an impact. I'm just talking about a plug-in, ready-to-go type player on the defense. I thought they needed two of those guys and one free agent. Well, man, I've recalibrated. I didn't think they were going to go out and get Frank Clark. I didn't think that the Chiefs were going to be the team to pay $20 million a year for the biggest defensive offseason acquisition of any team. I didn't see that coming. Now that they've done that, and clearly they're all in, or at least most of their chips are in the middle of the table, I say go all in with Patrick Peterson. I completely disagree with what you're saying with the two first-round draft picks. Now, I understand.
What number would you say no at for Patrick Peterson? So let's say they say we want both two number one picks and we want a second two, next year. Are you trading that for
Patrick
Peterson?
That's too many. I'm not giving you three, but if you want both the second-round picks for this year, because I'm all about the now. I'm all about the Cueto Zober situation where you understand it's not about winning a division. It's not about even getting to a championship. It's about winning a championship, which is why the Royals made those moves. That was the hump they were trying to get over. The Chiefs have won this division 3 years in a row, right? They were the number one overall seed. They had the MVP. They had everything except for a Super Bowl championship. And to me, these type of moves, going out and getting a Frank Clark, if you have found a way to get a Patrick Peterson, signifies that, man, we are all in right now. Maybe it's a 3 or 4 or 5 year plan. Maybe the window is going to be open as long as Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. But these type of moves show me that Brett Veach is serious about winning the Super Bowl right now.
Text line 69306, CDOT. Would you rather make the deal for Patrick Peterson or Chris Harris? I think Chris Harris would just be infinitely cheaper than what I think Patrick Peterson is. If the Chiefs want to go get a corner and trade one of the second round picks, I'd be calling Minnesota. I'd be calling Minnesota or Miami. I would be calling about Xavier Rhodes or Xavier Howard. I think you can get them, and they're not Patrick Peterson, but they're cost-effective options. You don't have to give up too many now assets, and you still get a player who would be a tremendous upgrade over your roster. That's what I would be doing if I was Brett Veach. Coming up in just a little bit, can the Chiefs get back into today's first round? We'll talk about that, but first, BK, hit it.
It's time for the Drives Pack-A-Day giveaway, brought to you by the Baseball Card Store, located on West 87th Street in Overland Park.
Every day you have a chance to win a 2019 Topps Royals team set, along with a vintage, unopened pack of cards. Each daily winner is then entered for a chance to win a signed Mondesi rookie card. Everyone who wins this summer goes into the drawing for the grand prize of a Mondesi signed baseball bat. All of this thanks to our friends at the Baseball Card Store. All you got to do is get this trivia question correct. The Royals have two players right now on pace to break the team's all-time single-season home run record. Who are they? If you know the answer, be caller number 6 at 913-576-7610 for your chance to win.
Coming up in just a little bit, can the Chiefs get back into round one? We'll tell you coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.